Blog Talk Radio.
Having everything go your way.
When you deal with computers, you deal with ones and zeros. And the only way that you can make a computer more powerful is to expand the consciousness of the computer.
Well, it's something bigger than ourselves. And that's got to be said.
That has to do with the self-image that people have.
You know, just kind of your ego being swept aside or being kind of stomped on or being swatted like a fly.
It really is and truly happening at a societal level.
It is being able to take what feels like ordinary human energy and mastering extraordinary power, even with a single person in a society with this kind of power. We call it the X Factor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carrie Wright from Male Harmonia. Carrie Perry. Welcome to the Hot Zone. It's September 27th, and I'll be your host tonight, coming to you live just south of Austin, Texas, in a tiny but really awesome town called Pell. It's our seventh week back in the Hot Zone, and I'm grateful to be here with y'all for the new season of PeacefindersNetwork.com. And remember that, well, you can feel free to take sides, and I encourage you to, and pick your candidates and your issues. It is ultimately a bipartisan discussion for all, and it will be a no judgment zone. One thing to remember, and I'm going to play this disclaimer so everybody can hear that.
The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the network, producers, advertisers, or hosts, and belong solely to those who make them. Committed to presenting all aspects of the truth and allowing you, the listener, to decide for yourself.
31 all right. Seconds, and we're gone for auto sequence start.
Woohoo! No auto sequence here. Not in the Hot Zone. It is an awesome show, and our only agenda right now is funding support and vote. Educate Americans. Stop this power, y'all. I'm actually an independent voter, but I'm very happy that he was the GOP nominee because I think it gives him way better chances just to say. And I have crossed the line this season to make a good reporter when you are opinionated. Partisan, I want Trump to win. In fact, I know Trump will win. Tonight we're going to be talking about the debate and the concept of fairness. It shouldn't be a concept that we have to talk about. We should all be so familiar with it. But unfortunately, that's not really the case. And, y'all, while I am totally for Trump, I do want you to know that I am also totally for all things bipartisan. And I extend a genuine invitation to anyone who feels differently. I hope you call in as well. And remember, you know, keep your comments on air and in the chat room. We want to access and for Americans, too, for that matter, is for Trump and Pence to win. So, all the underemployed and totally out of work, the people deeply affected by all the problems of our America, there's way too many problems in our beloved America. It hurts my heart, and I share this broadcast with you in hope that together we can find solutions to the problems that plague our beautiful and amazing country, that we can be part of the solution. and not part of the problem. I think Two Finders Network for hosting, for sponsoring the Hot Zone. I appreciate all they've done and over the years, and I just really want to invite you all to hang out here in the chat room with me tonight on the homepage at twofindersnetwork.com. And I'll put a link. Let's see, I'll grab the link real quick. So this is a short link. If you're tuning in, this is a link you can share with people who don't have Facebook. A lot of people don't like Facebook. You can share that link, you know, with phone or whatever. 703379. You can go ahead and start doing that now if you'd like. But to get started, as we do every week, I am going to bring Red Skelton into the mix here. Those of you who know who he is or know who he is, he's amazing. To say one of the two most American things that I believe that we can do, and one is the TED, and other is our national anthem. This pledge better than Red, one and only Red Skelton with us. Pledge of Allegiance. Please join me at the end. And he actually says it.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice. The principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Starting it off that way. Welcome back to Truth Finders Network, and I'm your host, Terry Light, and we are in the hot zone. And like a very dear friend of mine says, we must be brave and confident in America. We must be passionate, and we must put integrity behind our badges again and in the White House again. We must all dream and choose peace and justice, efficiency, and all the things that resemble true patriotism in our country and overall time. Let's face these giants together as brave Americans like we are. You know, let's take back our country and the White House. You know, what does that look like? What's wrong with our country? And like I've asked so many times, what's wrong with us? Therein is what I believe is one of the most important questions about. It looks like I've got a caller. Let's bring them in. Welcome to the hot zone. Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. Welcome to the hot zone. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine, Carrie.
Awesome. Is it Marcia?
Yes, it is.
Wait, I was just quoting you. I was just telling everybody, I said a very dear friend of mine, and then I was just quoting you and what you say about being brave and brilliant and dreaming of regaining confidence in our country. And that's when you called in. And I was just talking about facing the giants together, you know, like brave Americans, and taking our country back.
That's what we're in the midst of doing.
Yes, exactly. And I'm hoping that the Arizona Patriot Movement will be able to call in. I didn't get any promises because, you know, they're literally out there protesting. And here in just a second, I'll pull up the location, but it is in Phoenix, and I'm sure you've heard about it, but I'm really proud of them, and I'm praying for a peaceful protest tonight, and I, in addition to them calling, I'm hoping to I'm hoping to chat a little bit about the debate that we all had last night, because it was just such a wide range of viewpoints, but I still feel like overall the chatter I've heard mostly has been that Trump won, so I'm trying not to be too biased on that.
Well, the only problem that we run into is, did it change anybody's mind? I have not seen any indication that any liberal or communist has changed their mind and went for Trump. And I have only heard good things about the debate that about Trump from, you know, it's like preaching to the choir. Everybody gets more firmly planted in their belief during a debate. No one ever changes their mind. There's nothing Hillary could have said last night that would have changed my mind to vote for her. And the Hillary people feel the same way. So everybody thinks their side won.
What do you think
I saw comments on Facebook that he got himself whooped by a woman. Really?
Wow.
But that's
yeah.
from a liberal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like that, that's for sure. I have seen some evidence, you know, some chatter of people who were undecided and who are now going for Trump. In fact, I even have seen like actual conversations on different news channels of a few Democrats that are actually going to be voting for him. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, I would like to see more liberals and communists come over to the Trump side. That's for sure.
Well, we're going to have to work hard to make that happen.
Well, I've decided I'm not going to any more Trump rallies because that's talking to the choir. I'm out there talking to, they're not for Trump. I'm asking why. And their reasons for why is my ammunition to use for why they should talk to or vote for Trump. So we got to stop talking to the choir, and let's get the people who aren't on board.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, education is power. And what are you finding when you're asking why? What do you hear?
You're really breaking up on my phone, Carrie.
Can you hear me better now?
You're just breaking up.
How about now?
Yeah,
is that
cool.
Okay, I guess I just needed to tweak it a little bit. Sometimes
okay.
that happens. So I was just asking, as you've been talking to these people who are undecided, what are you hearing? They talk.
They think that Hillary is going to continue. Really? What good path?
So you're hearing a lot of people talking about they feel safer, maybe. I mean, because that is not a logical answer, like you said. Really? You know, maybe digging
yeah,
a little bit
I
deeper.
I don't say that out loud.
No, I know. No, but it's in the head, right? But I mean,
right.
I'm trying to figure out the deeper part of it because I really, you know, I do understand that change is really hard for people, even good change. And some people will really are almost allergic to it and will avoid it at all, you know.
Well, that is always a fear. We have changed. America has changed. What has created that change? If everyone is afraid of change, what has created them embracing the change that has happened that has been negative?
Yeah, and that's what I think is the myth. You know, because making her case straight out of the gate, she's giving people, and they're taking, you know, either those that support her, perhaps people who are undecided and who are thinking about supporting her, and they're thinking, okay, I want to play it safe. The thing of it is that is a big misnomer because, for one thing, she's saying third term Obama. She wants to be that third term. But in the same
right.
breath, she's saying, I want to be changed. And I believe in, you know, in these moments, you get out of the way and you just let the facts dictate. And we can look and see that nothing good has happened in the past 8 years. And in fact, we have changed. America has changed. And not
yep.
for good.
Right.
Not in good ways.
And how come they're embracing those changes? Things like Black Lives Matter, allowing all these illegals to come. How come they're embracing that kind of change? The change that Donald Trump wants to do is to change it back to what we used to have before the communists and the liberals traded.
Yeah, and just and at a kind of like cancer metastasizing all over and spreading everywhere. You know,
right.
it has infiltrated, and this is something that I have to stress every time I get a chance. And you know, it's the lack of involvement, because every single cycle of election, whether it's national or not, is just gonna keep going for whether we show up or not. The thing of it is, though, is outcomes are different. And dollar, you got 100 pennies. You take one penny away, and you don't have a dollar anymore. And votes are that critical, but because people aren't experiencing that, and I think too because it's widespread in each person's family, that's kind of the norm. People aren't seeing the effects that voting can have, and they're not hearing the stories, you know, and they're not around people who are making phone calls and sending emails and talking to their representatives and their sheriffs and their judges and all the people running for office who are supposed to be, you know, our servants. They're supposed to be civil servants serving the public. So by not getting involved, we've now let them infiltrate. We've let them stay there. And nobody's making them accountable for the things that they're doing. They hope that we go.
Well, and the other
back.
Thing is, the economy's so bad, people are so busy making a living just to pay their bills, they don't have time to get involved with the politics.
No, you make a very good point. A huge point. That is so, so true. But I'm excited about some of the things that I hear Mr. Trump talking about, and really hope that young people will listen to a little bit more. And by young, I'm talking about people who have, you know, like I've got several adult children. One of my daughters, who's 32, she just moved to Michigan, and I'm talking over the weekend. And as I hugged her goodbye, I mean, my heart just, I can't even explain how it felt, because I blame the economy. I mean, she flat out said, "Mom, I can't afford to live here." And they're moving, you know, really far away to a town where there's a lot more places to live than people, so rent is cheaper. And there are more jobs in what she does, which is working in the hospitality industry. So, you know, now I've got one of my kids and several of my grandchildren moving away because of the economy, and that's the way it is basically for all of them. Another
and
one
the
of my daughters
away
is
creates a division in families also. And that's exactly how communists infiltrate, is to divide the family.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely, or even grandparents that are taking care of children for their children because they can't for whatever reason. And that person just about looks at you like you're crazy when you're saying, you know, my experience, you know, get involved, go and vote, educate. What? Are you kidding me? Because just getting the bedtime and the dinner and the homework and all those things done is, with working and surviving, is so hard. People are not thriving anymore. And I don't like
right.
I don't like it when people I talk to that are just barely surviving. They don't even know what thriving is like.
Well, they get home
that's
from work, they turn on the TV, and that's exactly what the government wants them to do. Go to work, come home, turn on the boob tube, and not think, not create, don't think of a way to make life better, maybe starting a business, but just vegetate. And then you can do it all over again tomorrow.
Yeah, and that obviously is not getting us anywhere. And I think it's time for people to realize that we have, you know, two different kinds of terror happening in our streets. One is the kind of terror that we're experiencing because we have law enforcement, I'm just going to say deficiencies because, I mean, there's so many adjectives that can be used right there. And there is so much, there's terror that is now infiltrated, you know, from actual radical Islamic terror. So between those two things and then people feeling disaffected and we, you know, the shootings stuff that we have outside of the conflicts we've got, you know, like we've seen in Charlotte, North Carolina, that's a lot of violence.
Well, if
and
you've
terror.
Noticed, the American flag has been flown more at half staff than at full staff than any other time in history.
You know, now I mean, now that you mention it, you're right.
Drive somewhere, the flag is half staff. What's it half staff for now? Oh, it's because of this or that. Well, gee, it was just half staff last week, you know. There's so much many problems going on that it just remains at half staff. It doesn't have time to get up to the top. And you know
what? I don't think
the devil loves this.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he does. He does
in
love
the midst
this.
Of confusion, he is just delighted that people are running around with their heads cut off. God is not a God of confusion. What does that say about America right now?
Well, the good news is, I think, which, you know, I shared this with you earlier, I always thought, let's just say for the past 5 to 6 years, I felt very strongly that there was a way that we would be able to get back to what our country is supposed to be without bloodshed. And boy, have I had a lot of debates on that over the years. And as I was sharing last week's show, back in 2011 and 2012, I got a knowing. I mean, some people call it prophecy. You know, we can use all kinds of different words, whatever. But it was a knowing that there was a pathway, and that's the word that I got for it, to restoration of our country peacefully. And again, talk about debated. My gosh, people love to debate me on that. And we did go through the 2012 election cycle. And in my heart, I don't know if I've ever been more discouraged because I knew in my heart that it wasn't going to happen then. I just knew it. And I still had this faith regarding this knowing that it was going to be better, that there would be this pathway. And it's interesting because I didn't know who, and I didn't know, like, anything about how this would happen, but I had some ideas. I knew it was going to have the spirit of 1976. I could really see and feel racism in the air, like maybe you could just reach out and touch it. And I knew it would have something to do with a road trip. And in my mind, I could almost visualize, you know, someone all the way on the West Coast in, you know, a town that's literally on the ocean. And people just grabbing hand for hand and just continuing along until, you know, all the way to the West Coast. And from the south border to the north border, people were just grabbing hands until we were literally linked from coast to coast, border to border. And
well, isn't that what happened on 9/11?
Did it? You mean, well, which one? Like,
we were, for a short while, America was very united after 9/11.
Yes, okay. Yes, I agree. And it was a patriotism that I haven't, that is the closest thing that I've seen since 1976, except for what I'm seeing now. And I'm seeing a large, intense increase in patriotism, love of country. And the cool thing about love is it's very, very, very contagious. Just like being around someone who yawns, you just all of a sudden find yourself yawning. And love and hope are that way. And it's really easy to inspire other people to feel that way. And I felt like in this thinking of unity was a message, some kind of a message. And I felt like it was like God was really showing me that people are so accustomed to what I call the McDonald and Disneyland effect, where everything has to be super commercialized and hyped up and, you know, bang, loud, or they just don't pay attention. And it would be highlighted in all the main cities in America. And sure enough, you know, that's what I saw. And God showed me that, like a pocket watch, we would be given, and I compare it to a pocket watch because you can create a pocket watch and it will keep time, but I mean, if you don't create the pocket watch, it's not making the time. The time already exists. God makes time, but by having the choice to participate, to love our country, to get to be in unity with each other, at some point, if there was someone that came along and had a message that could help to unite everybody, and it came out the way I was describing, you know, very patriotic and all that, it would make sense. And it would be a logical message, and people would hear it, and they would catch on. And in that, more and more people would be coming together. And so when I heard about this prophecy by this guy named Mark Taylor today, which is so weird because I've never heard of it before, he talked about this prophecy. For him, it was an actual specific person. And, you know, now I know what the message was. It was make America great again.
Did I lose you?
I'm pretty darn excited about that. No, you've got me. And I don't know who we've got. Let's check and see what caller we have real quick. Hi, caller. Welcome to the Hot Zone.
Keep it to your ear.
Who do we have?
I can't hear it. It's a radio show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carrie. This is Shelby.
Hi, Shelby. How's it going out there?
It's going fantastic. We're getting lots of attention, lots of people looking at our signs, seeing our flag.
That is awesome. Everything's going peaceful and safe?
Everything's safe and peaceful. And believe it or not, regardless of what mainstream media wants to say, it's not a race thing. We have people of all races, religions, passing by, honking, waving. There's lots of people that love America, and it's not about the race.
That is so exciting. We were just talking about unity, and it sounds like you got a lot of that going on out there. Have you been able to meet anybody about their thoughts? Have you met any insiders?
I'm getting a bad signal out here.
Have you been able to talk to anyone who is undecided?
I'm sorry?
Have you spoke to anyone who is undecided?
Oh, I'm cutting out. I have a terrible connection.
It sounds like it. Can you call back in and see if that helps?
You know what? I got you. I got you back. I moved away from the fence. That helped.
Yeah, get away from that fence. I've got Hill on the phone with me as well. Tell me, have you talked to anyone who's undecided?
Not at this time. I haven't personally. Has anybody out here talked to somebody who's undecided? Had a conversation tonight? Yeah, not that I'm aware of tonight. I know we have in the past. Tonight is not a situation where we've really experienced that. Most people kind of know where they stand.
There's not much opportunity to talk to people in traffic as they're passing by.
Right.
Did you hear that was Steve?
Yep, I did. I'm not really familiar with like where you're at and what your opportunity is. If you guys are just like literally holding signs up for people to see.
Yes, where we are at right now is we are on the I-17 and Camelback Overpass in Phoenix, Arizona. It's rush hour traffic, so there's thousands of cars passing by. We're waving American flags, and we're holding signs. We have a variety of signs that say, we the people stand, expose corruption, Hillary for prison. We have a Feast of Benghazi sign. All kinds of things.
Wow. I wish I was there. It sounds so amazing. I'm so glad that you guys did this.
Yeah, really
you're
going to
be out there.
We're going to be out here until rush hour dies down. As long as the traffic's still moving, we're staying. We've also got a storm rolling in, so we don't know how that's going to affect us.
Right. Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
I've never
been. You know what? It's already been a good day, so either way.
Well, I like that attitude. That's for sure. We were just talking about how so many people are really getting to the point where they're decided. So I'm really trying to seek out and talk to people who are not. But it's
really hard to understand at this point in this climate, people who are undecided, right? But there are people that just they're struggling. They're struggling because neither candidate really represents who they are and what they stand for. So,
yeah, that's very true. I don't think that everybody's getting a real clear picture of what they stand for either.
Right. No,
so
that's absolutely
I'm
true.
I love that you guys are willing to stand out there and to stand for America. And to stand for the things that are good about America, like your signs say. Not everybody's willing to do that. I'm really proud of you guys.
Well, thank you. And we're going to keep this up until the election, and we're going to keep going even beyond that. The bottom line is it doesn't matter who wins president. In the end, corruption will always exist, and we will always need people to stand for corruption. To stand against it, to point it out, and to let people know what their elected officials
Absolutely.
Are doing and hopefully hold them accountable.
I agree. And if we've built up a lot of momentum for this election cycle, so it would be great to just keep that momentum going.
Absolutely.
From the
Absolutely.
Local level all the way up. And
we can't let her out of the American side.
Well, since you're in Phoenix, plan on attending the Rally for Law Enforcement in Wickenburg, October 22nd.
I'm sorry,
did you
get that? A rally in Wickenburg. I heard something about somebody inviting us to a rally in Wickenburg.
Yes,
October
20. October 22nd. It's a rally for law enforcement.
Okay, and what time and what's the location?
It is in. It's on Tegner, which is the main road, 10 o'clock to noon on Saturday, October 22nd.
Saturday, October 22nd?
Yes.
Afternoon. Okay, I will definitely help get the word out for sure.
Yes, and we just had a gal offer to make cookies that'll have a thin blue line on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, wow. That sounds really cool. I wonder if I'll be able to swing through there then. That would be ideal.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what our group is doing on that day as far as what the people are doing personally, but I will see what I can do to get some people together, and we'll see if we can mobilize some people out that way.
That would be wonderful.
And what was your name?
Yeah, it would.
My name's Marcia.
Okay, Marcia. Great.
Well, she's not just anybody. I'm going to toot her horn a little bit because she's awesome, and she's been running for sheriff in Maricopa County. And
okay, so this is Marcia Hill.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay.
I didn't win, obviously.
I definitely know the name living here in Maricopa County. I know who Marcia Hill is. It's nice to speak with you, Marcia.
Yes, well, I will be running again, but until then, we're going to support our police, and we're going to get Trump elected. So thank you for being out there.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's an honor, and it's our duty. Many men died before us so that we could have this right, and it's time we stand together and exercise it.
Absolutely.
And you know what?
So
it's really important as an example that when people hear and see that you're doing that, especially when it's not already associated with, you know, an event like they had in Charlotte, you guys are just out there standing for America. That's an amazing kind of thing to do, and people don't get to see that every day. So just remember, it's an even bigger, like, footprint is a good word. You're making an even bigger footprint, I think, on your community doing what you're doing tonight.
Well, that's the hope. We're hoping that we're helping to give America a voice and let people know who maybe are on the fence or afraid to back a candidate, let them know that other people stand with them. So,
good for you.
Well, so proud of you guys. Thank you so much for doing that. You
All
guys,
right, well, thanks for having us.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling in. You guys,
you
be safe.
And we sure will, and we'll try and call in when it's less chaotic.
That would be great, and I would like to hear more about how things went.
Okay, sure. Why don't we plan on calling in next Tuesday?
That sounds awesome. We'll talk to you then. Be safe.
All right, Carrie. And if anybody's interested in getting involved or contacting us, it's Patriot Movement AZ on Facebook.
Patriot what?
It's Patriot Movement AZ. Oh. You can find us on Facebook.
Okay.
All righty. And it was a pleasure talking to both of you ladies, and hopefully we'll call back in next Tuesday.
Cool.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
Right,
be safe.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Isn't that neat, what they're doing?
Yeah. Right in Arizona.
Right in Arizona. You guys are so patriotic. I have so, I've said this before, but I've just been so blessed. All the great people that I know in Arizona, and you guys are the ones that seem to show up, you know, at so many different things, and you've always got something going on, and I've got a lot of, you know, people that I know all around the country, but Arizona really, really rings that bell loud. Y'all are ringing that American bell really loud, and I love it, and I'm so grateful.
You bet.
Preacher Bill just joined us, so I just want to give him a shout out, and things are going good, brother. We were just, when Shelby called in to share with us what they've got going on there in Phoenix, we were talking about, he says, is that the group? I don't know. I'd have to check it. We were just talking about Mark Taylor and his prophecy, and it's very specific, and in it he mentions several things where he points out the synchronicity, which I think is really key when you're discerning things, and I thought that might be kind of neat to listen to. What do you think about that, Marcia? You want to listen to that with me?
Yes, I don't think the whole 31 minutes, though.
Actually, I found it's not. I found it's like 14 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And it's like the heart of the message. Let me see if I can pull it up. There we go. Yeah, 14 minutes. And for those of you who are just coming in, this is Mark Taylor, and he received this prophecy back in 2011. He's going to share about it, so let's take a listen.
And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Doc Burkhardt and Edward Zoll are here with me. Guys, glad to have you here.
Good to be here.
All right, this is going to be a really interesting program. Several weeks ago, I was with my wife, Susan. You guys already know this story. I was with Susan while she was visiting her physician, who is Dr. Don Colbert.
Right.
And I had a conversation with Mrs. Colbert while Susan was with the doctor. And Mrs. Colbert mentioned to me that one of her husband's patients gave him a copy of a prophetic message he said the Lord gave him. And Mary Colbert went to her office and retrieved the document for me to read. It was dated April 28th, 2011. The moment I read the first line of the prophecy, I immediately glanced back at the date to make sure I had read it correctly. I did read it correctly. The date was April 28, 2011. I read the entire prophecy and then sat silent for a moment as I tried to comprehend the message. I looked over at Mrs. Colbert and I asked, are you telling me this is for real? Are you telling me a patient of Dr. Colbert gave him this prophecy in 2011? And she nodded her head and said, yes, it's true. And then she picked up her phone and she called the gentleman and introduced me to him. And then he told me the story about the day the Lord gave him the prophecy. So I asked him if he would come on True News and share it with the entire True News audience.
Fascinating story here.
This is definitely fascinating. And the gentleman is on the telephone right now. Mr. Mark Taylor is a retired lieutenant in the fire department. And he is on the phone right now from his home. Mark, welcome to True News.
Thank you, Rick. It's glad to be here.
Yeah. I want to start right at the beginning of this prophecy because I looked at the date. I began reading the prophecy, and then I didn't even get past the first sentence, and I look back at the date, and I'm thinking, is this a typo? This must have been April 28, 2016. But wait a minute. It's not. We haven't even reached April 28, 2016.
Right.
So I'm thinking, well, maybe it was March 28, 2016, you know? So I went ahead and read the entire prophecy, and you know, my first thing I said to Mary Colbert was, is this for real? Are you honestly telling me that this was given to you 5 years ago? And she said, oh, yeah, this man is a patient here. He gave this to Dr. Colbert. So, Mark, tell us about, was there anything special that happened to you on the day that you received this? Were you in prayer? Just set the stage for us. And then I want you to read the prophecy word for word.
Okay. What happened was in 2006, right as I retired, I had a visitation from the Lord. And in that visitation, the Lord assigned an angel to me. And you fast forward to about 4 years ago, I had Prophet Kemp Simpson gave me a prophetic word. We never met, never spoke. He told me that I had an angel assigned to me, that he was assigned to me for the gift of faith. He was to minister not only to me but for me, but he would also only hear the words that come from the throne of God. And when he heard those words that came from the throne of God, he would immediately go and do those words to come up to bring them to pass. So in 2011, I was sitting in front of the TV, and I saw Donald Trump on TV. And all of a sudden, I went, oh, my gosh, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm hearing the voice of a president. So I went into my office, and I sat down, and I started writing what God was saying, because in that visitation that I had, that was what my strongest anointing would be in the written prophetic word.
Okay, I just want to take this step by step here. So 2011, you're in your living room, you're watching television, and Donald J. Trump is on television. Was it one of his reality shows or an interview?
It was in an interview, I think, on the news, because, you know, at the time he was thinking about running for president. And I want the listeners to understand, because I am real here and I don't want to deceive anybody. I originally thought that this was going to be for 2012, because on 3 months later, I wrote a prophecy called The Great Horse, that there was another Triple Crown winner coming, and I said in 2012 there would be another Triple Crown winner, and it would be assigned to the church that it was their time to break out, because Secretariat was a sign of the end time church. So
I remember this prophecy.
Yeah.
We talked about this. Yes.
Yeah, Paul Keith Davis talked about how Secretariat was a sign of the end time church. They would come from behind and be the winner. Well, we don't know when that time was going to be, but this next Triple Crown winner was going to show that it was time for the church to break out. So anyhow, I thought all this was supposed to go down in 2012.
But we had a Triple Crown winner, and it was Pharaoh.
Well, no, in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
This was all supposed to happen in 2012.
Okay.
Donald Trump and the horse. And so I thought, when that didn't come to pass, because Trump never announced he was going to run, so I thought I had truly missed these two words, so I set them aside. Now, I'm trying not to get off topic here, but God gave me General Eisenhower's speech. He says, I want you to go back and take that speech, and I want you to rewrite it and address it to my army.
Which speech?
The D-Day speech. So I went back, and I took the D-Day speech, and I rewrote it, addressing it to God's army. Well, I didn't know what to do with it at the time, so I pushed it aside with the rest of this stuff. Well, fast forward to 2015. I thought I had missed all this stuff. All of a sudden, the Triple Crown winner comes, American Pharaoh, in 2015, and I'm on the phone with my sister, and she says, oh, my gosh, what day is today? And I said, it's D-Day. And I heard the Lord say, release the speech. 10 days later, Donald Trump announces he's running for president. And I went, Oh, my goodness. So I pulled all this stuff out, these three things that I had setting aside for years, and all of a sudden, everything came together at one shot. Now, in the prophecy, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, did I miss this? And he says, no. He says, all of this was supposed to happen in 2012, but he says, my people were not ready. He said, I held it off. He says, go back and look at the horse that ran in 2012, because the horse ran the first two races, but he lost the last one. And I always thought it had a kind of peculiar name, and it was, I'll have another, which I thought meant I'll have another drink or something. And the Lord said, no, I'll have another one coming, is what he meant, is because my people, the church, was not ready. They needed three or four more years of this garbage with Obama going on, where they would get a righteous anger, rise up and say, enough's enough. So that's why all this stuff came together in a 10-day period. June 16th, Donald Trump announces he's running. Now, I'll read the prophecy first, and then I'll go back and give some, maybe some details, if that's okay. Would that be all
sure,
right?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. So I titled the prophecy Commander-in-Chief, and it says, the Spirit of God says, I have chosen this man, Donald Trump, for such a time as this. For as Benjamin Netanyahu is to Israel, so shall this man be to the United States of America. For I will use this man to bring honor, respect, and restoration to America. America will be respected once again as the most powerful and prosperous nation on earth other than Israel. The dollar will be the strongest it has ever been in history of the United States and will once again be the currency by which all others are judged. The Spirit of God says the enemy will quake and shake and fear this man I have anointed. They will even quake and shake when he announces he is running for president. It will be like the shot heard across the world. The enemy will say, what shall we do now? This man knows all our tricks and schemes. We have been robbing America for decades. What shall we do to stop this? The Spirit says, ha, no one shall stop this that I have started. For the enemy has stolen from America for decades, and it stops now. For I will use this man to reap the harvest that the United States has sown for and plunder from the enemy what he has stolen and return it sevenfold back to the United States. The enemy will say, Israel, Israel, what about Israel? For Israel will be protected by America once again. The Spirit says, yes, America will once again stand hand in hand with Israel, and the two shall be as one. For the ties between Israel and America will be stronger than ever, and Israel will flourish like never before. The Spirit of God says, I will protect America and Israel, for this next president will be a man of his word. When he speaks, the world will listen and know that there is something greater in him than all the others before him. This man's word is his bond, and the world and America will know this, and the enemy will fear this, for this man will be fearless. The Spirit says, when the financial harvest begins, so shall it parallel in the spiritual for America. The Spirit of God says, in this next election, they will spend billions to keep this president in. It will be like flushing their money down the toilet. Let them waste their money, for it comes from and is being used by evil forces at work, but they will not succeed, for this next election will be a clean sweep for the man that I have chosen. They will say things about this man, the enemy, but it will not affect him. They shall say it rolls off of him like the duck, for as the feathers of a duck protect it, so shall my feathers protect this next president. Even mainstream news media will be captivated by this man and the abilities that I have gifted him with, and they will even begin to agree with him, says the Spirit of God.
Amazing. This is truly amazing. Mark, it reads like you wrote it last week.
Right.
That's why it took me back so strongly, because I kept looking at the date.
Right. And the one thing I wanted to point out is because there's a whole World War II component to this thing, and there's a bigger picture that the church is not seeing right now, and that it's all about the end time harvest.
Well, before we go there, let's dissect this word, and then we'll move on and talk about the prophetic meaning for the body of Christ. Looking at this prophetic word. Says the Spirit of God says, I have chosen this man, Donald Trump, for such a time as this.
Correct.
What does that mean to you?
That means he's not been called, he's been chosen. There's a difference. Just like Joseph was not called, he was chosen. So Donald Trump has been chosen. His whole life building this empire has been to prepare him for the season that's coming up right now, that we're in right now, in order to help turn America around. And the one thing I wanted to point out is that when he announces it'll be like the shot heard around the world, here in the second paragraph, the Lord told me, he says, I want you to go back and I want you to research June 16th. So I went back and I couldn't find anything. And I said, Lord, I can't find anything. He says, no, go back to World War II. So I went back to World War II. And June 16th, 1945 was the day they made the decision to drop the atomic bomb. Now, if that's not a shot heard around the world, I don't know what is. So, I mean, do you think that's a coincidence that he announces on that same day? Because it's going to be like a nuclear bomb going off when he announces. Because this man is known worldwide.
The prophecy says they will even quake and shake when he announces he is running.
Yeah.
The enemy will say, what shall we do now? This man knows our tricks and schemes.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, how many times have you heard him sit up there since then and say, hey, I know all this about such and such a group. This is what China's trying to do. This is what Mexico's trying to do. These aren't friends of the United States. You know what I mean? A lot of times. So, I mean, he's exposing everything right now.
Wait, he knows how international business works.
Exactly.
And he knows the way the deals are made.
Yes.
And that terrifies the people who are doing the deals. Hi, this is Rick Wiles. I'm sorry to interrupt today's edition of True News, but the censors at YouTube have silenced us. They are limiting True News to only 15 minutes per day. You can hear the full program by going to our website, truenews.com, T-R-U-N-E-W-S, truenews.com, or by downloading the True News app onto your smartphone or tablet. Thank you so much.
So, yeah, that is that shocked me when we got to the end of that and he said, he interrupts and says YouTube is limiting him. Like I was saying in the chat room, though, you can actually hear the whole show. If you'd like, it is on YouTube, and it's just under True News. And so isn't that amazing, though? I haven't gotten the whole thing with the horses yet, but I know they're marker points for him in terms of referencing how he received the prophecy. But I definitely think that everything makes sense. You know, when I was first given my indication, it was definitely that 2012 was not the time because there weren't enough. I'm always saying that you have to have enough people that are collective, simultaneous, passionate, imaginative, and all of this needs to be for the glory of God, for Him. And it needs to be in alignment with His will. And then at that point, that's when God will intervene. Because otherwise, you know, it's all about free will. And it's not legal, for lack of a better word. You know, God's not going to just jump on someone to make something happen. There has to be enough people choosing. So I'm pretty darn glad that it's happening now. Let's see, Preacher Bill says, yeah, because of course they would limit him on YouTube because you've got Christian, truth, and government all in one. And so I don't know how that particular clip, because that's like a piece of it, but I did find the whole hour in several places. However, I did find that unlike most of the time, whenever I go to grab something and upload it so we can listen to it, it's a very quick thing. I just copy and paste the video link and it converts it into an MP3. Bam. And I had to look and look and look and look before I could find one that would let me convert it into an audio file. So they're definitely watching that. And I also found something on Facebook. And Marsha, are you part of the, I think it's just plain Trump No, that's not it. Trump.
I'm on all the Trump Facebook pages.
I know. There's so many. I'm trying to find
the one I go to all the time is the blessed Donald Trump.
Oh, me too.
Gives me hope.
Me too. I mean, it really gives me hope. Okay, this is the one that I was talking about, and there was a guy who is a member of the group. And let me see. I tried to. It's hard to keep up with when you've got like 10 articles you want to share, which you can't share them all. But just some really good stuff. Let me see if I can find what this guy said, because it was a message, and he wrote it back in June. And I'm not going to keep looking for too long, but darn, where'd it go? They probably took it down. I mean, I'm hearing so much. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like an unusual, unprecedented amount of stories I'm hearing about people who've had their stuff taken down, their whole accounts closed, pictures lost, all kinds of things. And that's so weird. Of course that's the way it is. Okay, I don't see it right now, so that won't work. But he was basically just saying, stay strong and remember that it may seem like things aren't going well sometimes, but to stay steadfast in your faith and strong in your faith, and do not for one second hesitate, because we'll win in November. And, you know, what's interesting is how many different places in the past 2 days I've come across where that was the message over a month now, the message being given to us, you know, that this is the time for now, our country, for now, is in this moment of time. And I hear the chatter, yada, 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 everywhere. But I have not heard more chatter about Trump actually winning, not just winning, but by a landslide, which is something else that Mark Taylor was saying in that clip I played. When he was given that prophecy, this leader would win by a landslide with a mandate. And, you know, that's pretty darn important. And so God doesn't do anything small. Everything God does is big and kingly, because he is the greatest of all kings. And when Trump wins, he's going to win big. Bigly. We'll use Trump's word. He's going to win bigly. I love it when he says that. Here was an article I wanted to share with you about undecided. They were just talking about how this bar, and it's like, I guess, dates back to this, to 1746. And she was just talking about how the whole facility was just on fire. And by the end of the debate, they knew that there would be nothing that anybody could say to persuade them to vote for her. So that was really encouraging. And that was after the debate last night. So I just think that, you know, I'd rather them be saying what they're saying today, because to me, we all know how hardcore and pumped up he is. And, you know, he held true to that, but yet he was polite, and I mean, he could have said a lot of different things, and he didn't do that. So now nobody can blame him for that, and he can show up at the next debate. I mean, she obviously wants more. She wants to have it rougher, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it. But she definitely seems to be inviting it to get a little bit more intense. So I say next time after such a chivalrous performance, given that he was being decked with lies the whole entire night, I think he behaved pretty dang good, in my opinion. But that's all it is an opinion, you know. Let's see. They're afraid of Trump, and when the real fight starts, the people backing Trump are going to help him push her into a corner where she belongs. Amen. Absolutely. I agree, because, you know, unfortunately, people are such that if they don't see that something's popular, they're not going to make it. It's not going to be popular to anybody. It has to be popular before it can be popular, which is ridiculous. But that's just, for whatever reason, human nature. So seeing more and more and more and more people all the time who are openly and happily endorsing him and excited about him, that's some contagious, powerful for undecided. And we do still, I think, have enough time for that.
Well, we got to get people who are not voting for Trump. We've got to spend time with those people.
Yeah,
so that
we
will
do.
Win by a landslide.
I just think that there are a lot of undercover voters. I really do. Let's see. I heard all the media and people say Trump came unhinged, but I saw him being very reserved. I felt like he was just in his head. It was like he was thinking, okay, all right, I see how you are. You set the tone, and I'm going to follow you with that tone. And but I read specifically that on this debate, there was seven follow-up questions to Trump and zero for Clinton. And there were 41 interruptions
right.
by Democracy. And there was only seven. I believe it was seven. Yeah, for Hillary, for Clinton. So that's, you know, that's definitely out of the range of what's acceptable. But again, I mean, the power of the people can complain and complain and complain, and it can't, it can't unring a bell. But we still got two more debates, and those I do believe are opportunities for people to either, if you haven't decided by now, you're going to wait till the very last minute. You're going to wait and see, you know, if a scandal comes out or this or that. Those people are hangers-on, and they're going to wait until the very last minute, and we're going to go in. And I visualize people not even knowing when they're walking in to actually vote. And even at the last minute, changing their mind, even like maybe they're for Hillary, and they're all alone in that box for that one moment of privacy, they check Trump, because secretly people are gonna want what really does charity, and she's just not dishing that out. She's dishing more of the same. More of the same with a different name.
She has no new ideas.
Oh, no. She has none. It drives me crazy when she says he does. He doesn't, but he does. And I think we need to really make more noise about the fact that there should be no noise when it comes to discussing what our country is or isn't or should or shouldn't be doing in foreign, it, you know, fighting with political Islam, any other area of the world where, you know, they want to kill us. I don't think it's smart. It's pretty obvious. So I hate to hear him getting slammed for that, because to me, and it's, I just, he's really starting to take that stuff, but with a lot of grace. Just rolling off his back. So I'm happy about that. I'm not happy that they're saying that, but I'm happy that he's really learning how to let it roll off his back. And let's see. There was another article I wanted to mention that I found today. And let's see. So apparently, let me pull the one. I want to make sure I've got the one. So True Pundit says the exact script of Lester Holt's plan to rig presidential debate for Hillary was leaked 28 days ago. And you'd have to read the whole article. I'm going to put the link in the chat room right now. No, I haven't read it, but it is a pretty good source for this kind of news. And you go back to the chat room, multitasking here. I am again. What kinds of things do you think are good ways to get these undecided voters' attention, and what do you think we should be, what our conversations should be about when we're talking to people, Marcia?
I think we need to find out why they are not voting for Trump, and whatever they say is ammo for us to talk with them about. Oh, I don't like his attitude. Well, you know, that's probably how he got to where he is right now, is running multi-billion dollar businesses. He probably had to have a little bit of an attitude. I mean, everything they say can go to the positive side of Trump.
Yeah, anything that they say about his temperament is actually an asset when it comes to a leader.
Right.
Okay, there's an article to that. I mean, I know when I have had to deal with people in business, I mean, I got the nickname Scary Carrie because my deal is to be firm and unwavering after I've come to, when I've come to, once I understand for sure that something is a certain way, you know, like, for example, I decide, you know, I need to get rid of an expense, period. Everything that I've looked into has shown me that I need to get rid of it. So that's not something that I'm going to negotiate. And, you know, I've had that situation come up where that vendor then is like, you know, they don't want that me to end that account. And I'm just, and this is kind of a lame example, but I think it's really important, something people should think about, because we are getting bullied every which way we turn in as a country. And so I feel like having somebody who's willing to be firm, chain, you know, crazy, but fierce, the kind of person that you don't want to have to say, excuse me, but I don't like that. You know, I don't want people saying that to our leader. to our president. And everywhere I see Obama go, that's what I how I see him treated. It gets worse and worse. People can't do that to Mr. Trump. And if they're going to do it to Obama, they will sure as heck do it to Hillary Clinton. That's the last thing we need. We need someone to come at, who can come in and be firm and fierce in an appropriate way with appropriate timing and clean up all these messes. I think he will make a very good fixer. Yeah, this is a very good point, too, because the evangelicals, to me, they're playing two roles because they're not only do they make up, you know, a good part of the voter groups, but they're also praying. And prayer is the medium for miracles. And
well, too many churches and too many Christians are praying for God to give them insight on who to vote for. Well, if you check out the Bible will tell you who to vote for.
Well, I agree with that. What would you say specifically? Because to somebody that maybe doesn't read the Bible all the time or isn't quite sure what to do with it when they do, to say that
I
would
usually
be,
tell
I think,
them that how to vote is in the book of Genesis. If a candidate is not pro-Israel, we can't vote for him because God tells us in Genesis that we need to. He said that to Abraham. Then, if they're pro-abortion, they shouldn't be voted for. Because God says, go out and multiply. He doesn't go out and say, and kill half the embryos or whatever. He also says that we are to fill the earth with people. He doesn't say when it gets to be a billion people that you have to back off. God's in charge of the womb. He's in charge of the planet. He says, subdue the planet. Subdue the earth. He doesn't say because it's going to have global warming or because I can't take care of the planet myself. So you have to know some things to point them to biblically for why they should be voting for people that don't, that are, you know, biblically based. And if someone's running and they are pro-Israel, you need to look at their whole platform because that's a good thing.
I absolutely agree. And I believe that, like that Mark Taylor was talking about, and I've been saying this for years, it's really weird. When I read any of the books in the Old Testament, it's like when the word Israel or Israelites comes up, which is a lot, it's almost like the Holy Spirit, I don't want to say replaces because it never feels like that, but it's almost like the very second that I read that word, in my mind I hear America or Americans. And I always felt like that some of those words and stories and so forth that were told about them and for them were about and for us as well. And when I very first started feeling that way, when I would read the word, was back in the year 2000, prior to the election. And when all that stuff happened with Bush and Gore, that's when I started to really pay attention biblically to any correlations is the word I'm looking for between then and now. And I've never felt like we were doing anything but wandering in the desert and complaining this whole entire time. And I say we because, for those of us who do not do that, we're still doing that when we're a part of a whole that is mostly doing that. And that's what's really great about this moment in time, this moment in history. There are enough people who have experienced enough. They're really truly sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you know, most people are procrastinators, unfortunately. I'm definitely not going to not include myself, because I can definitely be a procrastinator, but there's nothing like a deadline on the heat of your butt to get you to do something. So I really have high expectations for the next few weeks that we have left. Let's see. Preacher Bill says, the real truth is neither candidate is without sin, neither has nor continues to live in biblical righteousness. However, Donald Trump is a businessman, and this country is running in the middle of literally tens of thousands of people. It's not like he's not exposed to it before. He's been a quote-unquote celebrity all of his life. But I think something changed when people started to really believe that we could make America great again. And I think that it really humbled him. I see humility in his face a lot.
He can make it great again because he knows how to make things great.
Yeah, and he also knows how to do things under budget and faster, which that in itself is going to create more jobs, because it's just like the waitress who's turning her tables over. The faster you turn your the faster you're done with a job, the sooner you can get started on another one. So, and the more under budget that you are, the more jobs you can afford as a company. I mean, for my husband and I, you know, as our, with our automotive repair shop, you know, there's been so many times when he said, you know, let's run an ad and try to get a bunch of, you know, customers in. And I'm like, no, you know, because if we do that right now, we don't have what it's going to take to help them. And they're just going to get mad, and then they're going to say bad things about our company. So in order for us to accommodate, if we plan for success, we're going to get success. So we need to be ready for that success when it comes. And I think Trump is one of those kind of guys who he's going to show up shovel ready. He knows how to show up shovel ready. And he's going to get the job done cheaper and faster, which is going to get our debt down. And that doesn't include any of the other ways that he's planning on making our country wealthy again. Trump owns, let's see, Preacher Bill says Trump owns casinos and strip clubs. He's invested in projects and programs that are not godly nor have in any good moral content or intent. But if we are going to vote for a person to run the country as a Christian should, we need to seek someone from the true Christian faith, and none are stepping up to that plate. That's very true. I agree with that, but I do think that he has come to believe that the only way that this can be done is to, you know, be led by God. It's pretty obvious that it's a hard job, and that there are, see, Hillary Clinton doesn't care. I haven't seen a president care about the people like this in a long time. I felt maybe Reagan was somewhat in a lot of ways. I think he was really honored and humbled. I always thought of him as a very humble man. But I think in his mind he's thinking, you know, it's like the guy that you don't know what to get because they have everything. He's done every job that you could think of. You know, this is something he hasn't done, but he absolutely thinks that he can do it. And like Preacher Bill does say, you know, God protected David, and God protected all of those that he chose for the jobs that he needed them for. Unlikely choices that he picks to lead the way. And nobody ever expected Mr. Trump to get this far. So
I did.
Yeah. Well, we did. but most people didn't. I mean, most people really, really didn't. And I'm trying to think of when I thought, when he first ran, I didn't take it serious because I've heard him talk about it in the past. And then when he announced it officially, I really had to take pause with that because I still wasn't really convinced that he was serious. But when he started showing up to the debates and the different things, and when I saw him going from town to town to town to town to town to town and not taking money from super PACs and such, that's when I really started to think, okay, this guy, different, you know, he's going to be the most unique guy in the room most of the time. But that's when I started to realize he's really going to run and embrace as the outsider position and use all of the tools that he's been blessed with. And, of course, then he just started knocking them out of the park. Every week, someone, it seemed like someone was dropping out. And there were some help. Since we talked last, one of the very last people came around, how about that?
Have I lost you? Hello?
You got me.
I lost you.
No, you didn't.
I think I lost you, or you're cutting out.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
I'm like one of those phone commercials. You can?
Now I can, but I need to go.
Well, that's okay. Yep, I'm cutting in and out. They're probably throttling my internet right now, is my guess.
Well, God bless you, and God bless America, and God bless Trump.
Yes, and God bless America, and God bless you, and you too, Preacher Bill. And for any of you who are listening to this, this will be a podcast, so when you're listening, you just know that we say God bless you too. Thank you, Truth Finders Network, for sponsoring the Hot Zone. And get out there, everybody. And let's get these undecideds decided. Ask them why. And then reach out to them about what it is that makes Trump so amazing. All right,
right.
Marcia, it's been a great night. I appreciate you.
Appreciate
you.
Thank
you.
Town.
You're welcome.
Bye,
thank
Bill.
You. He says goodbye. All right, y'all, it's been a great night. I'm going to play a song. I don't know if Preacher Bill got to hear it, a going-out song. It's called The Sound of Silence. Never heard it like this before, and it's amazing. I think it's a great way to go out. So if you're listening, no more surrender. No more silence. No more chains. No more Clinton. no more fear. So stop the sound of silence. And when this is over, it's over and out from the hot zone. We'll see you next Tuesday night. Appreciate y'all. God bless y'all. Get out there and keep on talking. Let's stay strong and stay united. God bless everybody.
Softly creeping, left its scenes while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. The sound of silence.